Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's more than just odds.
It's more than just matchups and lineups.
It's everything.
All of it blending together to give you the complete picture.
And you'll only get it right here.
On the home of the Winning Edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Play fake. Boot to the right. Looking down the field. Lamb. 10-5. Victory. Cowboys win. The ghosts are exorcised.
Wright kicks it up. The 53-yarder is good, good, good. The Jaguars have won it on a 53-yard field goal by Matthew Wright. What a magnificent ending in London.
Oh, we are exercising the demons right here on Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, NFL week number six, in the books for the most part. Big game tonight between Tennessee and Buffalo. But George, you heard in the intro, big game out in New England. Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys moved to 5-1 on the year. Dak Prescott with a huge performance, 445 yards through the air. CD Lamb, the game winner in overtime. Dallas with the win and cover over Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I mean, this team is really coming into form, not just offensively, but defensively as well with Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, I might not quite go that high on the praise of Dallas there. They played a poor game yesterday. They just played a team that couldn't handle it. The only way New England could stay in that game was for Dallas, and the refereeing for that matter, to play down to their level. And they did for a while. Turned the ball over a couple times in the red zone again. Red zone opportunities in the first first half were not good. They were 1-4, interception, a fumble. So they had their issues yesterday. But defense gave up yardage again. They're eventually going to face teams that can take advantage of that. Those long plays they give up in the secondary there. So they got some things to clean up there. Obviously, they're going to score points. That's fairly obvious. To beat the Cowboys, you're going to have to score 30-plus. That just seems to be the way it's going to be. All right, they're going to play a lot of exciting games like that. They got to get things cleaned up. Dak did get hurt at the end of the game. He swears up and down that it's not a big thing. You know, but he was in the walking boot at the end of the game. They do have a bye this week. They'll get Collins back after DeMarcus Lawrence, maybe a couple of weeks after that. Gallup could be back when they come back off bye as well. So Dallas has a lot of good things going for them, but they got things to clean up as well. Like I think yesterday was a game, Joe, where they thought their talent would just win out and didn't have to play football. But they played down a little bit. They can't have that happen, and the penalties have to be cleaned up.
No, totally understood. It wasn't a clean game, George, but at the end of the day, you get a W. You have one of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think if we're thinking about some of the better teams in the NFC, right, you're talking about, obviously, Arizona and Kyler Murray. We'll get to that. A dominating performance over Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. You have the potential to go toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in your conference, and that's all you can ask for. I mean, as long as at the end of the day, as long as you come out of there, especially a road win against a team that you didn't really win in. When was the last time Dallas had a win in Foxborough? I think it was the first time in their history that they came out of there with a W. So you have to credit Mike McCarthy. You got to credit Dak Prescott and that team for showing the resolve that, hey, they didn't bring their A game, but at the end of the day, you walk out of there with an overtime win.
It's the first time they'd won in Foxborough with Bill Belichick as head coach. Not the first time they've won there.
Okay.
They've won many times.
So how many years is that? 20 plus?
Since they had beaten Belichick was 96. Okay. Since they had won in Foxborough was 86. So okay. Those are the numbers on Dallas there. They had never beaten Tom Brady. Period, whether Tampa Bay or New England. So it was not a fun place to play for them, generally. We saw the game. The last time they played there was in that quagmire. I think it was the year before last, where Dak had a horrific game. Everybody had a horrific game. Dallas didn't play well at all. So it was good to see them. So they played ball yesterday, but they got to clean this up. They played an inferior team. You know, as a Cowboys fan, you can see that when they play better teams, they're gonna have trouble.
All right, well, let's talk about one of those better teams. Right now, Arizona, the only unbeaten team in the NFL. I mean, no Cliff Kingsbury, no problem. Put up 37 points. Kyler Murray, 4 touchdowns through the air. A.J. Green, the old man, he leads Arizona in terms of receiving yards. They force 4 turnovers against the Cleveland Browns, come out of there with a win, a cover, and an over. What more can you ask for? This is the best team in the NFC. They're hitting on all cylinders and potentially have an NFL MVP candidate in their quarterback, Kyler Murray.
No argument here. I think they are the best team in the NFC as well. As you said, they're hitting on all cylinders, playing lights out football. The only thing I said, if I'm going to have to go play devil's advocate here, we saw something similar to this last year. Not to this degree, but similar. But they get off to a hot start, look great, and then they faltered at the end. Now, you want to tell me it was injuries is why they faltered? Okay, not going to argue that either. But they faltered, and injuries can happen again. So that's the only thing I'm wondering about or worrying about is what happens when those injuries do hit. So that's it. Other than that, they look great. They do look like, to me, I don't know if I want to say by far the best team, but clear and away the best team in the NFC right now. I don't know if anybody can stick with this team.
If you are an Arizona fan, the biggest thing that you can turn to is last year it was all offense and the defense was the weakness. That was the question mark entering the season. That defense has played lights out. When you're opportunistic, especially on the road, you force 4 turnovers, you give your offense a short field and an opportunity to score points with one of the most athletic and lethal quarterbacks in the league. I mean, that's a great recipe to have entering week number 7.
Yeah. I mean, you think about everything that's gone right for the Cardinals, right? You and I questioned the defense in preseason, right? We were worried about it. It's played much better than we thought. It's gelled quicker. Good for them. All right, that's worked out fantastic. They're getting for it. And they didn't even have Chandler Jones yesterday, right? So, I said they're playing well. I think they are playing a rough division there. They're taking care of business. They're not giving games away.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. When we come back, we'll recap some of the other big games from NFL Week 6. We'll touch on the game tonight and look ahead to Week Number 7. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down week number 6 recaps. Going to turn our attention to the big ball game tonight in Tennessee. Tennessee, a 6-point dog against one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, fresh off their 18-point road victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Minus 110 either way, right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 53.5 is the total. Juice to the under at minus 115, George. I've been a big buyer of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I think they are the most complete team in the AFC, if not the whole NFL entering week number 7. But I believe that this league is a league of matchups. And when you look at that game last year in Nashville, Derrick Henry, that offensive line, wore down the Buffalo Bills at the point of attack. I think this is a tougher ball game than people think. It is back-to-back road games. Buffalo might win, but I'm inclined to take the 6 points with the home dog in Tennessee. Think it's a close game, but Tennessee does cover this number tonight.
Yeah, I probably lean your way. I'm not going to bet the game. I'm not betting the game. Because I do think that Tennessee's had issues all season long, but everybody should play tonight. A.J. Brown now has an illness yesterday, not COVID-related. So he's iffy tonight. There just always seems to be something up with this team. And they have not played anywhere near how well we thought they would. Ryan Tannehill hasn't played anywhere near how we thought they would. So I'm a little concerned about Tennessee tonight, but it's at home. Monday night game. A game they're starting to realize, okay, we got to start playing better football. Indianapolis is playing better now. Their schedule eases up if we don't want to stay in first place in this division. But Buffalo's just better. They're just better. You compare them to last year. Buffalo's defense is better than last year. Josh Allen's figuring out again. I can't bet it, but I do lean your way. There's a chance. But I think Tennessee to do this, Joe, will probably need a late score to do. I don't think it's going to be a game where they're in the whole time. I think Buffalo's going to end up winning this game. Like, okay, they always had the game in hand, but I think Tennessee maybe gets a late score to cover here, but I don't trust that logic either.
Well, the total is high, obviously, right? One of the highest in terms of the board in NFL week number six. We saw Kansas City and Washington go under the total. We did see Arizona creep up over that total along with the Dallas game. You know, I could see this game going either way. I think if you're Tennessee right now, you don't want to get into a shootout with Josh Allen. Obviously, the offense hasn't been as consistent, especially in the passing game. I think you want to run the football with Derrick Henry, keep Josh Allen and that explosive offense on the sideline. So, to me, I think I lean to the under there in terms of how the ball game might play out. But if you're Buffalo right now, you want to attack that secondary, Tennessee. Heck, if Zach Wilson could put up 27 points on that defense, you would assume that Buffalo could get into the 40s in this ball game.
I don't know if I'm going to go that high, but that's my issue with taking the under. All right, as I do think Buffalo can score pretty close to at will here in this game. That Tennessee defense has been, we knew coming into the season, once again, that was going to be the issue. Could they get to the quarterback? All right, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I think Josh Allen's going to have a big game tonight. Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, who, by the way, is becoming a threat here. And they can run the ball well. Also, it's Zach Moss. Dawson Knox, all of a sudden, is a pretty damn good tight end. You know, outside of Darren Waller and Kelsey, maybe the best tight end in the AFC. So they have weapons galore here. I think Buffalo scoring at least 30-31. 40 wouldn't shock me. I'm not going to say that, but 40 wouldn't shock me there. So if we think Tennessee can play with them, then this game goes over pretty easily.
Yeah, it would. But I like Tennessee more than I like the under. I hate playing unders, but at the end of the day, you would have to think that the game plan for the Titans is run the football, control the clock, sustain drives, and we'll see how that plays out a little bit later tonight. We'll break that game down a little bit tomorrow in tomorrow's program. Let's look ahead in terms of the games and lines for week number seven. Intriguing. You heard in the intro, Kareem Hunt is out for an extended period of time. He's hurt. Obviously, Nick Chubb missed that ball game yesterday. Cleveland now does have running back concerns entering their Thursday night battle with the Denver Broncos. What a performance by Vic Fangio in Denver, right? Interim coaching staff with John Gruden out. You were a 5-point home favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders, and you allowed Derek Carr to absolutely torch your secondary. 300-plus passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Waller, a big day. I mean, Brian Edwards, a big day. Henry Ruggs, a big day. 4 turnovers by Teddy Bridgewater in that offense. Totally one-dimensional in the early part of the game. Now, Denver, a 4.5-point underdog on the road against the Cleveland Browns. I know there's concerns, but I have no confidence in Vic Fangio in this spot. Short week. Even though there is concerns with the rushing attack, I think Cleveland covers this number.
Boy, good luck to you. All right, there's no Chubb, no Hunt, or probably no Chubb. Maybe they'll rush him back. No Hunt. Mm-hmm. You didn't even mention Baker Mayfield once again. That shoulder fell out of socket again. That needs surgery. All right, that's not going to heal on its own here. He's going to try and play through it, but even when he's playing through it, he's not playing well. You know, I don't trust Teddy B either. I mean, I think Denver was sort of, listen, I'm not going to argue about Fangio. I agree with you, he's a bad coach. You know, they'll have to move on eventually. But this team as a whole, they got off to the hot start because they played nobody. All right, they beat bad, bad football teams. They're just not as bad as those football teams. They beat the Jets. We know they're terrible. All right, and Jacksonville, they have all sorts of issues. And who they beat? The Giants. You get the 3-0 start here. And they're awful, right? I mean, there's no surprise here as to why they get up to those starts. Now they've lost to three. Well, those are Baltimore. Very good team. Lost to Pittsburgh, an okay team. And you got shellacked by Vegas yesterday. You already went through it. A team that went through all that turmoil. They have all sorts of issues in Denver, no doubt about it. But Cleveland has just as many problems, and their problems are on the field. So this is a game Thursday night that's a quagmire to bet. Because you're going to bet on Cleveland, a team without their this is a rushing team, a running team. They have offensive line issues, too, as well, as far as injuries are concerned. We don't know if those guys will be back on Thursday night. Before I decide who I'm betting, I need to see who's healthy. I need to see who's going to show up for Cleveland. I have no faith in Baker being able to do anything for this team. I just don't. Now, he's not that kind of quarterback anyway, and he's all banged up. And you can't tell me that shoulder's not bothering him. He's got to wear a harness. He's got to hope it stays in socket. Anytime he moves, if he gets hit, it could pop out, especially if his arm is extended, his left arm. It's his non-throwing arm. Yeah, that thing's going to pop out. That's immense pain. You come back in as soon as it gets back in the socket. But that's not good. I think it's way too many problems here. Then again, as you kept saying, Denver just lost to the Raiders, and they had a truckload of problems coming in. They made Derek Carr look like an MVP again. And he struggled for two straight weeks. But I said, right now, I can't touch this game.
All right, well, Denver does get a boost for this game in the sense of Jerry Jeudy was activated from the IR, expected to play Thursday. I think when you look at this game and both of these teams overall, George, for me, it comes down to which coach do you believe will have his team prepared? Do you believe in Vic Fangio? Do you believe in Stefanski to regroup coming off a loss, even though it's a short week? You have some moving parts. You have some injuries. I still think they'll have a good game plan in place. I don't know what the offensive identity is of Denver with KJ Hamler that was lost with an ACL and Jeudy in that lineup. I thought they had the tendency to be more explosive. They were playing from behind much of the day yesterday at home, could not sustain drives. They put up 24 late fourth quarter points. They trailed at the half 17-7. He's just a conservative coach, and I think that unless the running game is there to be effective, you know, they can't dictate the tempo. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you have a different offense in terms of yesterday's performance with Kyler Murray and those wide receivers. Denver's not built that way. They want a ground and pound that goes right into the strength of Cleveland's front seven in this matchup. So that's where I give the edge to the Cleveland defense and the Cleveland Browns. Now, laying a 4.5-point number seems high, but we're talking about Denver here.
Yeah, I just don't. If Cleveland was fully healthy, I'd be on the Browns. No problem here. But they're not. And by the way, Cleveland's also probably one of the top three, top five most disappointing teams this season. I mean, they played awful. For the talent they have, we thought they would be a much better team. And I don't know what. Well, like I said, is it all injuries? Is there something else going on there? Is it Baker taking a step back? Whatever it might be. But we thought they'd be a better team, and right now they're not. No, they're just not. I mean, you get wiped out by Arizona yesterday. Yeah, you lose to the Chargers. Exciting game, but you still lost a game you probably should have won. And maybe you shouldn't have beaten Minnesota the week before that. Right now, they've got some problems.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll be talking about Baltimore and L.A. Also talk about Broadway Joe Burrow and their win over the Detroit Lions. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the recaps of NFL Week 6 and turning ahead the page to Week number 7. Talk about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. What can you say, baby? 4-2 on the year, laying 3.5 on the road to Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. They started fast. Joe Burrow, 3 touchdowns on the road, dominating performance over Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. They now move ahead this week to face Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, one of the most impressive wins yesterday. I mean, Baltimore did it on the ground. Devontae Freeman and Lamar Jackson added some yards along with Latavius Murray, but it was the Baltimore defense that held Justin Herbert and that offense under 250 total yards, 24 rushing yards on the ground, George. Dominating defensive performance. Now 6.5-point home favorites over the Cincinnati Bengals on FanDuel, -115. Total set at 47.5. Juice to the under at -115. I got to be honest with you. You know I hate Zach Taylor, but he's coaching well. I love Joe Burrow. He's a calm, confident quarterback. You're going to give me 6.5 points on the road. I'm going to take my chances. I'm actually going to back Cincinnati in this spot early on.
I think the Ravens, but I'm impressed with both teams. Ravens yesterday, I think, had the most impressive performance yesterday, right? I mean, you annihilated that Chargers team. All right, I'd say maybe one bad game from the Chargers, whatever it was. You came up against the buzzsaw from that Monday night game. Whatever you want, excuse you want to use for the Chargers, but the Ravens went right through them, right? Hot night through the warm butter. And I loved what the Ravens did yesterday because I'll say it again. If Lamar Jackson's going to be, doesn't need to be a great passer, doesn't need to be, you know, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, or anybody like that. If he can just be one step, even two steps down from that, good luck trying to stop this team. I don't care who's at running back for them. Good luck. Because we know he's dangerous as all hell with those legs, right? He can run anywhere. If he can throw now outside the numbers and be accurate, and to any, to people other than Mark Andrews, too, good luck. Good luck to you. Just good luck trying to stop this team. As for the Bengals, you know, I guess maybe we were wrong. I was wrong. Thinking they should have drafted Penei Sewell. I think Sewell's still going to be great, by the way. But Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow, okay. All right. You guys are fantastic together. You do have that. You know, that you need, that it thing you need there. You know, the Steve Young and Jerry Rice, Aikman, Irvin, the connection you need there. It makes you dangerous all the time. It's there. You can just see it. It's there. It's made Tyler Boyd, you know, unnecessary there. So I guess they did get the right guy because, hey, you don't know if Sewell's going to turn out to be there anyway. I think it's going to be a good game. I think this is a test for Cincinnati is what I think it is. You're going to Baltimore. You're facing the team that's, you know, Baltimore. It's been one of the best of the league for a long time. You and I don't trust the head coach there. We do trust Harbaugh. You know, I want to see what they're about here. I just want to see what they're about. I do think they're probably a year too soon before they're back to being maybe the Boomer Esiason Bengals here. I'm not going to back them betting. I'm not. I'm probably leaning towards Baltimore, though. Right now, I don't think I would place a bet on this game. This game's going to be one that I'm going to enjoy watching.
Well, I'll tell you to your point in terms of yesterday. Lamar Jackson was not sharp in terms of the passing attack. 167 through the air, one touchdown, two interceptions, only had 51 rushing yards on the afternoon. So that defense did take the next step. Now, I think when you look at L.A., they were one-dimensional. Obviously, you couldn't run the football effectively. Predictable third-down situations. You're now trailing and behind. Obviously, West Coast team traveling to the East Coast in terms of that early kick in that environment. They came out flat. Short week, like you mentioned. Okay, there were a number of different factors that really played into Baltimore's dominance yesterday. But I think when you look at L.A., and you look at Cincinnati now, it is similar offenses, but you have a younger, more explosive team potentially. You have Joe Mixon at the running back position. He added 91 yards on the ground. You've been asking for Joe Mixon. When's he going to come and play true to form? He stepped up yesterday. Now, granted, it was Detroit, but you get 91 yards on the ground. You catch another 59 in the backfield in terms of the short to intermediate passing game. Now you have options to put pressure on Baltimore's defense, something that LA wasn't able to do. And if we're talking about a shootout in terms of, you know, gunslingers, I would still give the edge to Burrow because Lamar Jackson's still a little bit inconsistent. Now that I've been the biggest backer of Lamar Jackson, but now back-to-back weeks, we saw him struggle in the first half against Indianapolis. They did pull that victory out. He turned it on. But now against LA, he was inconsistent in the passing game. So do we really feel confident enough, even though they dominated L.A., that if this is a higher scoring game, he's going to come through and out-duel Joe Burrow, even though he's at home?
No, Joe Burrow's a better quarterback, right, a more traditional quarterback. So, no, I don't think he can out-duel Joe Burrow. Burrow also has better weapons. All right, I mean, I don't know if any wide receiver on Baltimore is better than Chase, Higgins, or Boyd. You know, maybe Brown over Boyd, but even that's a maybe. Brown has his issues there. So, no, they can't match up. And you bring up Joe Mixon, by the way. If he's going to be – I think the most impressive thing about Mixon this season, by the way, has been that he catches the ball in the backfield now. Now, maybe he always could. They just never used him because they had Geo. But I think it's been, made him fantastic now. Because now he's he's another threat for the Baltimore Ravens defense to worry about.
Well, he always caught the ball out of the backfield at Oklahoma. But, you know, why – NFL coaches don't feel... Look at Zeke. Zeke caught the ball in terms of Ohio State when he was there. I mean, he was more a between-the-tackles runner, but they still utilized him in the screen game with Urban Meyer. So it is interesting how certain coaches and offensive philosophies really play into strengths and weaknesses of potential players. So early on, I mean, I think this might be a lower-scoring game because of Baltimore's propensity to rely on the run. They've played now... You know, they got into the 30s. They did have an over with Indianapolis, and we know that if the mindset is Joe Burrow is going to toss it maybe 40 times in this ball game, let's rely on the running attack to sustain drives. We'll see how that game plays out. It is a 1 o'clock kick. Another intriguing battle, and you have two sides of the spectrum, right? You have two teams that are basically reeling. We have the Giants that got blown out by Matt Stafford as a 7.5-point home dog. They got abused early and often. I mean, it was ridiculous. 30 38-11. Cooper Kupp, 9 receptions, 130 yards. Stafford, 4 touchdowns. They're now 3-point dogs at home against the Carolina Panthers. That, I got to be honest with you, Minnesota is running my best bets of the day. They jump out to a 12-10 halftime lead. They have an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. Zimmer lays up like King Kupp, playing for field goals instead of touchdowns. He lets Sam Darnold drive 96 yards in the final minute. Are you kidding me? I had to hold on for dear life. They get a 2-point conversion, and Kirk Cousins does find Bourne in the overtime period. Thank God they pull that game out 34-28. Carolina, I still think, is the better team at this point in the season. They have to regroup. Where's McCaffrey's on the IR? This is ridiculous. But out of both teams, give me the more disciplined coach and team in Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers here.
It was fun hearing the angst in your voice going.
I'm telling you, Dalvin Cook, over 100 yards. He's rushing. Mike Zimmer's ridiculous. He really is. He had that game in hand. He's playing for field goals. It's 7 minutes left. They're up by 11. They have a first and 10 on the Carolina 35. Don't ask me what he did, but he settled for a 52-yard field goal. The guy misses. Joseph misses it. And then, I don't know, prevent defense. It's fourth and 10 on the 4-yard line, okay? Like 40 seconds left. They allow a 41-yard pass over the middle of the field. Are you kidding me? Seriously.
Yeah, they also had a 4th and 6 a couple of plays later they let up, too. Austin, I agree with you about Zimmer. And it's not just Zimmer, by the way. We can go through coach after coach.
The first 3 games of the year were crazy for Minnesota, right? He plays down to the level of competition. He almost lost to Detroit.
So anyway, so you got so many coaches who play this way. That's just how they coach. They play for field goals. And you saw it last night's game as well. Seattle did it with Geno Smith. They had plenty of time yet. They kept them short pass after short pass after short pass to play for the game-tying field goal rather than go for the win. It's annoying. And it's all the old-school coach. Bill Belichick did it for the end of the Dallas game last night, right, where he punted that ball rather than go for it on 4th and 1. He left Dallas plenty of time to do whatever they wanted to do. It was 4th and 3, not 4th and 1. I apologize. So we see this over and over again. It's almost like they coach Joe because they don't want to hear it from the media, the fans. Oh, we got the field goal. What are we talking about? Yeah, they're not up to what, game theory, analytics, whatever you want to call it, that you have to really go for these moments here. You can't play for the field goal. If another team has a minute 20 left, it's too much time. They will, if it's a field goal to tie or a touchdown to win, they're going to get that or just get a chance at it. It's not worth the risk. Keep the ball. You know, everything in the NFL is geared towards scoring nowadays. You need to keep the football. You don't give it up, not for 3 points. It's just silly. It's almost like now you should only be going for 3 points when you have no other choice. Yeah, that's just my thinking here. Just only go for 3. Okay, it's 4th and 12. All right, fine. I'm going to take my 3 then. Because 4th and 12, I'm not going to, you know, the odds of getting a first down like 8%. It's not worth it. Anyway, as far as Carolina, they're the Denver of the NFC. Started off 3-0, you beat 3 bad teams. Jets, Houston, New Orleans. Or maybe New Orleans is not a bad team, but it's certainly not a good one. All right, then you lose to Dallas, you lose to Philadelphia, you lose to Minnesota. Well, now you're going to play a couple of bad teams back-to-back again. Yeah, I think they'll take care of business this week. I do. I think the Giants are a rolling mess right now. And did they give up yesterday? They got annihilated yesterday, and it could have been much worse than that score. It was a 38-11, which, by the way, was the 1,067th different score in an NFL game. There you go. There's your stat of the day. So I don't know what to tell you about the Giants. They're hurt. I don't think Barkley's playing this week. Maybe Galladay. Kadarius Toney is now banged up. You know, with the ankle injury, and even if he's back, I don't know if he can play the full game. I love the way Daniel Jones comes out of the game yesterday and says, oh, no, I didn't have a concussion last week. I was stumbling because I got the wind knocked out of me. Oh, yeah, sure, that's what it was.
Well, Sam Darnold returns to East Rutherford, and the bigger question is Daniel Jones the future of the New York Giants? We'll touch on that when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our coverage of NFL week number 6, big ball game in Washington. Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs went on the road. They opened as a 7-point favorite. Line closed at 6.5 right here in New Jersey on the FanDuel Sportsbook. All Pat Mahomes did was torch Washington's defense for 397 through the air. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Big day by Darrell Williams. Scored the first touchdown on the ground against the Washington football team. Taylor Heinicke playing from behind much of the day. Did not have the offensive output to go toe-to-toe with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I have a bigger question to ask right now, George, in terms of Washington. I mean, is this team severely overhyped? I mean, entering 2021, they were supposed to be a dominant defense. They haven't lived up to expectations. Taylor Heinicke's good. He's not elite at this point. And when your defense is getting torched the way that secondary is, I mean, old man Landon Collins, he can't cover anybody at this point. Are we asking or expecting too much out of this team the second half of the season?
I guess we're not expecting too much anymore. Now we know they're not a good team. But I think Coach Ron Rivera, I don't know if it was before last week's game or the week before, actually said it. I think the way the people looked at us, the media, the fans, because we won the division last year. He actually said, I think winning the division at 7-9 was a bad thing for us. And I know exactly what he means here. Because you won the division, they think everything's you're a good team. All right, everything's set. You're ready to go here. But they won it because the NFC was deplorable last year, right? Absolutely deplorable. You know, that's what they wanted. And so now they had so many issues to fix that they took a step back, you know, maybe even 2 steps back. And you lost your starting quarterback. Whether Fitzpatrick should have been the starting quarterback or not, we can all, you know, discuss that. But they lost him. All right, it's hard to overcome that. So I think they are sort of a team where, you know, they have major issues here. The defense has taken a lot of steps back for whatever reason here. The secondary was always going to be the weakest part of that defense, but the front four was supposed to make up for that because the quarterbacks were going to have no time to throw. You have 2.5 seconds, good luck, get rid of the football. That sort of thing. You know, so anybody can really cover for that long, but it's not working. Nothing's working here. The NFC East has got all sorts of issues here. The Giants look like they gave up. Washington's got all sorts of problems here. The Philadelphia Eagles are really rebuilding for next year. And the Cowboys are going to run away with it in this division. Literally might have it won by Thanksgiving. Washington, though, all sorts of problems here. And, you know, Mahomes, great game. Right, 32-47. Still, 2 more interceptions. All right, you got away with it yesterday. And one of those interceptions was like, what the hell are you doing? You know?
He's forcing, though. He's forcing. Yes. You could see it.
He's definitely.
Yeah, I think he's taking on the mindset of I'm going to have to carry this team. You know, it's expected for me to get this team back to the Super Bowl. They had offensive line issues that they solidified in the offseason. Now he feels like, okay, the protection's there. My level of play has to take the next step. So I think that's what you're seeing. But to your point about Washington, you're absolutely right. When the secondary, when opposing quarterbacks have multiple seconds to throw, that secondary then becomes more exposed. And when you think about just the total yards, 499 by Kansas City, 11 of 17 on third down conversions. I mean, man, you're not giving Taylor Heinicke much option or in terms of many opportunities to score points. You're always playing from behind. It's one thing if you're playing Atlanta, maybe you could beat that type of team with an inexperienced defense, but this still was the Super Bowl contender out of the AFC. So it's going to be a tall order. I think the bigger question is, what do they do from here? I mean, obviously, Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heinicke, are they in the market for a quarterback in 2022? And we'll tie it in to where we left off with Sam Darnold for Carolina and Daniel Jones for New York. I mean, are we potentially talking about all three of those teams looking for a quarterback next year?
I like where you're going with this. I think you're right. Listen, you go one by one here. All right, we'll start with Washington. They're definitely in the market for a quarterback. Even if you're upset about Fitzpatrick, he was not your franchise quarterback. You need one. And I think Heinicke's going to end up being a really good number two, really good backup in the league. Maybe he'll start for a lesser team, but I think that's what he is. He's not a franchise quarterback. The Giants, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to give up on Daniel Jones yet, but are you going to pay him that big contract?
I don't know.
Will he accept a bridge contract, a 2-year? And what are you going to do here? You know, and then you get down to the Eagles. I mean, the jury's supposed to be out on Jalen Hurts, and you have three number one picks, and all three of these teams right now would have a top 10 pick. I mean, so the quarterbacks will be there. You can make some finagle, then move up in the draft if you have to. Is Deshaun Watson going to come into play here? Right now, it's hard for me to see, Joe, where Deshaun Watson's not playing in the NFC East next year. And I think
whoa. Wait a second. If Deshaun Watson's available, I expect my Miami Dolphins to. We could throw Tua in there as well. Because that performance.
You can't outdo Philadelphia. They have much more to offer. They've got three number ones. Three. And Jalen Hurts. That's much more than Miami can offer. Miami can't even come close to that.
Well, they're going to have to do. I would give half the team to have to. Yeah, again,
I agree with you.
All the legal issues are behind them, and there's no off the field repercussions.
Yeah, we are assuming that. Yes,
right.
All that'll be cleared up by then. There'll be a couple of reasons. Well, as a fan, I would love Deshaun to go to Miami. I don't want him in the NFC. He's the Cowboy guy. But that being said, I'm sure Houston's thinking, let's get him out of the AFC. It's another reason why he'll go to Philadelphia. The only way he wouldn't go to Philly, in my mind, would be if Hurts plays lights out the last half of the season. Right now, he's been okay, good at times, but nothing that makes you say he's franchise. You know, nothing that's going to say that yet. And like I said, I think Philadelphia, even if Hurts plays solid, yeah, he does get better, but not superstar better, but they go 5-12, the fans in Philly are going to be clamoring for Watson. I mean, they're going to want their franchise guy because Dak's going to throw 6,000 yards.
I agree.
They're going to want someone to compete with them. So I think I'd be surprised right now if he doesn't go to Philly, assuming Hurts doesn't take a couple of steps forward.
Well, when we talk about Washington's upcoming game this Sunday against Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, they're 9.5-point dogs in Lambeau. They're -115 on FanDuel right now. And I took Chicago this past weekend. Obviously, it was a tough game. They were in striking distance. Of course, Matt Nagy blew it. What else can you say? 17-14. Somehow, some way, they can't tack on a touchdown within the last 4 minutes. But, I mean, on paper, it leans to, obviously, Green Bay attack and Aaron Rodgers attacking that weak secondary. I mean, if Pat Mahomes put up 397, now this team has to go on the road. They're going to have to sustain drives. How are they going to win this game, or even more importantly, cover this 9.5-point number? 48.5 is the total. It's juiced to the over at -114. I mean, heck, they've been going over now. I mean, the only push was that Cincinnati game. So, you know what? This is a game, I know, call me crazy, but I would lean to Washington on the road because I think they're going to have to run the football. That is a weakness, potentially, of Green Bay's front seven. Early on, I would take Taylor Heineke in Washington with the points here.
Well, you can call me crazy, too, because I'm with you. I think Washington, I don't think they win the game. I don't, but I think they'll cover. I think they'll play well enough to cover here. I mean, you look at Washington, yes, they got blown blown out yesterday. You lost 11 in New Orleans, close. Four, you beat Atlanta by four. You got, wow, look at the scores. Maybe it's not going to be so good.
They got still, blown out by Buffalo, blown out by Kansas City.
Beat New York by one. You did lose to the Chargers by four, game one here. I don't think they can win the game. I don't. But I think Heineke, you said, I think they'll run the game well enough. I think Heineke can extend drives with his legs as well here. I don't love the Green Bay defense. I think they have lots of issues here. And I don't love the Green Bay offensive line. I think Washington, I think they can do some damage here. Now, one thing I'll say about it is I'm with you right now. I'm not betting it right now. I am waiting. If I find out that Gibson and or McLaurin are both not going to play. McLaurin came in a little banged up. I think he's fine. But Gibson's iffy. He's iffy. He's got the stress fracture, right? He's playing through it, which is a pain management thing. If I don't like what I'm hearing about him, then I'll probably just leave this game alone here. Gibson has to play. Because without him, you could take away McLaurin. There's nothing else left there. Samuel's probably going back on IR for Washington.
Right.
So I need Gibson to play here to give them a dual threat.
Well, I'll tell you this. If they don't play, I think it's even more so to the under because Ron Rivera
Agreed.
Is a conservative coach by nature. If he doesn't have any of those weapons, he's going to say, let's make it a four-quarter game. Let's work for field goals. Let's play more zone. Let's not let Davante Adams beat us in terms of one-on-one opportunities. If Tyreek Hill was attacking that secondary, we can't allow Davante Adams to have 10 catches for 170 in this ball game. So 48.5 might be a good play to the under. I have to break this game down a little bit deeper, but that is an interesting concern. Maybe you look to some of the running back props for Washington if they put them up. I do want to talk about Miami because Urban Meyer got his first NFL win. And Jacksonville now the winningest team in NFL history in London. Their fourth victory. I mean, that what a performance by the kid Wright. Right? I mean, he comes off the, all the, off the street. He was a backup kicker on the practice squad. Squad nails 250-yarders. Terrible performance by Brian Flores in the final minute, that last play before the potential game-winning field goal, right? They allowed, who was it, Chenault, to get a basically in field goal range. Terrible for Miami. But what a job by Urban, huh?
That's another thing I live for on this show is to hear you say Urban Meyer, by the way.
Urban Meyer.
I don't know why I get joy out of that for some reason, but I do. It makes me laugh every time. Yes, listen, congratulations. He gets his first victory there. Yay. You mentioned Flores. I mean,
terrible.
I mentioned Cleveland. Is Miami the most disappointing team? Cleveland's one of them. Is Miami number one? Washington's up there, too, by the way, but is Miami number one?
I mean, no, because... I'll say why. Yes, we didn't expect it, but they did have a harder schedule than they did last year. I wasn't completely sold on Tua. They have been dealing with injuries, but I got to be honest with you. That aside, you got to beat Indianapolis when you had them on the ropes with Carson Wentz a couple of weeks ago. You let Jonathan Taylor run all over you. He's supposed to be a defensive-minded coach. You were aggressive last year. Where's this defense all of a sudden? I mean, where's the philosophy? We're letting teams just go up and down the field on us.
Agreed. I mean, I think Flores is in trouble here. You know, I think he's in trouble with the way this season's going. You can't lose to Jacksonville. That's the bottom line. You can blame the schedule all you like. And the schedule was tough. No doubt it was tough, but you can't lose to Jacksonville. You just cannot. Especially the way that you came out that first drive, and you look great, right? Tua's going up and down the field, looks good, and then really everything else just pretty much goes downhill since. Yeah, they didn't play very well there.
It's like they turned it off, right, George? It's like they had the lead. Okay, we're going to go on cruise control now.
Yeah, and then they're not that kind of team. They can't go on cruise control. I agree with you. That is what it seemed like, right? That they were going for it, then they just, okay, we're good. We'll just throw it home. It's out there. We're better than this team. Yeah, and they're not that much better than that team. Yes, a lot of injuries for Miami, especially on the defensive side. I think they were without both cornerbacks yesterday. So I get it. Still, got to beat Jacksonville. Had to beat Jacksonville. Miami, for me, you know, one of the most disappointing teams. Maybe not the most, but certainly one of the most disappointing teams here. Like I said, I just did not see that coming. As for Jacksonville, you know, they've been at least fun. Urban's overmatched. You can just tell he's overmatched. I don't think he's into it. I mean, no
well, let me ask you this quickly, because when they won, did you see the ending where they kicked the field goal? It didn't look like to me like the players were not in or emotional with Urban Meyer. They looked like they bought into their head coach. I mean, did you get that sentiment when you watched that?
I don't know if I was looking for that specifically, so I'm not going to. I can't give you an answer one way or the other there. I think they're with him, but I don't think Urban is ready for the. I don't think he expects all the work he has to do in the NFL.
All Urban does is coach them up. We're coming back to wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we left off with the Miami Dolphins and Brian Flores. They're 2.5-point dogs against Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons -110 either way, 47 and a hook. Slightly juiced to the under at -112. I have no confidence in this team. You know that. I just talked about it. But Tua's back. I believe in the defense a little bit more than I believe in Atlanta's playing at home with the humidity outside. Give me the fish one time as a 2.5-point dog. I think they can knock out the upset, slight upset. Also like them +112 on the money line. They lose this, forget it. Brian Flores could be searching for a job next year.
I don't think he'll be searching for a job. Not one bad year, but that being said, this wouldn't be good. I'm taking the birds here. Let me tell you why here. Didn't Miami play in England yesterday? Yes.
I think so.
Right?
Of course.
Tough trip back. So they don't have a, most teams get a bye the week after. Miami must not have wanted it because I think that they leave it up to the team. Do you want the bye the week after? They must have said no. You're playing an Atlanta team that was off this week. So you're playing a short week against a team that's coming off a bye? How is this fair, by the way? You know, this is what I hate about NFL scheduling. There's no way a team coming off a bye should be playing a team that played in England. That's just nuts to me. But it is what it is here. Give me all the Falcons. Give me the Birds here. They've got to be prepared for this game. They're playing a team that's not playing well. I don't know if those injured Miami players are going to play on Sunday. Atlanta's looked a little better than I thought they would. Mainly more on offense than defense here. They'll get their injured players back, right? Ridley should be playing in this game. Gage maybe plays in this game. Pitts finally looked good in his England game. Give me the Birds here.
Really? Okay. I mean, that's obviously why they're 2.5-point favorites in this matchup. But for me, I think Brian Flores is a better coach than Arthur Smith. I believe in my defense a little bit better than the Dirty Birds, so we'll see how that plays out. We'll break down all the rest of the slate for Week 6 and 7 tomorrow. For George Kurtz and our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We both like or lean to the Tennessee Titans. Talk to you tomorrow.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.